Girls the Podcast is all about storytelling and empowerment.
Our mission is to amplify the voices of women and girls and talk about the things that matter to them most.
Love speaks to the support we give each other as we search for our own path to success.
Lead, overcome, value, empower.
That's love.
Because every girl has a story.
And our stories matter.
Welcome to another episode of Love Girls the Podcast. My name is Jasmine Babers. I'm actually filling in this episode for my lovely and talented older sister, Kayla Babers, who is usually hosting. I'm here back again for a monumentous occasion. Right now, I am at the Figge Art Museum, and we are at Women on Fire, our second annual Women on Fire, and I have several special guests with me today. I have a live audience. This is a live Love Girls the Podcast episode. Can you guys cheer? Say hey. Along with our amazing audience, we also have a panel of phenomenal people. So today we're here, we're talking about young women's stories. We're sharing stories. We're talking about an amazing woman, Hattie McDaniel. And I want people to know who we're talking to. I feel like everybody knows me. Enough about me. I'm hoping that my three lovely guests can introduce themselves.
Lovely.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Gay Shannon Burnett, and I am with Ozimbwike African American Council for the Arts. I believe that I was asked to be part of this because of our unique background in filmmaking. We have a 9-year-old film program called Urban Exposure, Independent Film Project. And it's right here in the Quad Cities. We're located at TNBC Lincoln Center, and we make films. And so I'm sure that's the connection. I have a background in filmmaking, and also my son teaches film production at 3 different colleges in Los Angeles. It takes 3 jobs to make one, but it's okay. And that's what his BFA and MFA is in film production. So we have a long history of filmmaking.
Hello, my name is Teresa Moore. I am president and CEO of I Am Productions. We are a small entertainment group, and we do a multiplicity of things. We do a lot of things. I have been acting for years. My family would say all of my life, but acting, directing, writing, producing, plays, but also short films. I work with Miss Gay on a number of the urban exposure films. I don't like talking a lot about myself, so I'll let that be the end of it.
I'm Kevin John Goff. I work with different organizations, the Motion Picture and Television Fund, and they do things for the other people in the acting community as far as hospice and end of life and giving them, maybe they're displaced in some way. And Hattie passed away at the Motion Picture and Television Fund in 52, and years later I found out about it and I said, well, let me go volunteer there. So I ended up being there as a documentary curator and a mentor to some younger people at different high schools. And right now I'm working with the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures. We're doing a documentary based on the replacement of her Oscar this past October after 50 years of being disappeared. It's great to be here to talk about yet another amazing woman, just like all the amazing women that are here today.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today, taking the time to come share a little bit about your experiences, talk a little bit about Hattie and her experience. I really just want to jump straight into it and get some of your perspectives, and I know that the audience will also have some questions. Hattie was a first it's hard being a first, right? Hattie was a first. She was the first black woman, black person to win an Oscar. She played a maid in Gone with the Wind, and there was a lot of backlash, right? There was a lot of people who might have been angry, felt angry that that was the role that she was being honored for. And I just wanted to hear your perspective a little bit more. Even like the NAACP sort of boycotted her winning this award. And I'm torn myself with whether or not that was valid. I understand the perspective, but also we know that there weren't many opportunities for black women at the time. There still hasn't been that many black women and black people to win an Oscar after her, right? So I'm just interested in hearing your perspective on the backlash and hearing a little bit more about what you have to say. Yes, Ms. Gay?
Yes. And I would really like to go first because I feel very strongly about what happened to her. Because she came up in a time, like you said, there were not a lot of opportunities for African Americans and African American women. And to be able to step into those roles and play them with dignity and command, you know, what the audience saw and crafted what it was that she wanted the audience to see was very, very important. I think in hindsight, the NAACP would not have done that because she was doing something that really did open doors for African Americans and African American women. Yes, we were stereotyped into certain categories, into certain images. The narrative was set and was not set by us, but she took that and she tried to make the best of it. I remember a documentary called Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, and it was women like that that were the foundation of how we rose to higher ground. And we needed those women, and they were willing to sacrifice for us. So I think what she did was commendable. Yes, I'm looking at, you know, 50, 60 years of hindsight, but still it was commendable. And at the time, I understand that they were trying to elevate the image and the narrative around black Americans and how we were seen and how we were projected, not just to ourselves, but also to the majority culture. But I said she was brave. And I think that we needed more brave women like that. And I think that at this point, even though it doesn't do her any good, we should acknowledge her and celebrate what she did and what she sacrificed to get us to this point.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, look, it's easy for me to sit here in 2023 and look back and cast criticism on Hattie McDaniel or anybody else during that time, but the weight that she had to carry with the roles that she chose. Oh, there was a line in the play that the ladies read, I would much rather play a maid than be a maid. I mean, in a documentary I saw, she used the figures and I don't know what she made, but she made $700 versus $7 being a maid. So, you know, you can look at those numbers, but I think it was very brave of her to stand and take all that weight from the criticism. I'm like Ms. Gay, I think the NAACP, I don't know if the NAACP today would do differently. I think they were very harsh against her when it should have been a thing of attacking the establishment, because it wasn't her that made the rules. It wasn't her that wrote the script. It was those writers, producers, even the film industry that made this I don't know, scale that because you are this and this, this is the role that you, this is the only role that you can get.
I would say to echo some of the thoughts that you two ladies mentioned, Hattie was surviving. Her father, who was in Civil War and was injured to the point where he suffered from his injuries for the rest of his life. and fighting for his pension, she saw her father going to work as a laborer at 40 or 50% of what he was, working in the railroads. She saw her mother, 13 kids. Half of those kids died before they reached 10 years old. Hattie's husband, her first husband, died around 1915. Her brother, Otis, died in 1915. Her mother died in 1920. Her father died in 1922. All the while this is going on, you're being told you're not equal. You're being told you're less than. Hattie did not buy into that. Hattie had no problem with confidence. Hattie earned everything she received. And when you think about how much she did with so little, I mean, imagine if she wasn't relegated in a box. It would have been astronomical, but yet it still was. Hattie was doing radio before she even made it to Hollywood. Hattie was doing vaudeville. Hattie was writing songs in the 1920s. Hattie played the drums. She was such a good drummer, she played with Jelly Roll Morton. So Hattie was just otherworldly. She wanted to entertain. She did that because she loved to see joy. She loved to put joy on her parents' faces. But you know, the other part of that is she was part of the NAACP. And she was singled out. But it wasn't just Hattie. There were thousands of black performers. Hattie wasn't, you would think she was the only black performer at the time. How dare you play these roles? What about the other 10,000 or 20,000 or 30,000 black performers who are doing the same thing? And it makes me think of some of her quotes. She said that faith is the black person's Federal Reserve System. You know, usually when you think of Federal Reserve, you think of money, control, things, faith. If she didn't have faith, what would she have done? She wasn't a quitter. She saw her parents, she saw her brothers. So that's why she made it in Hollywood, because she wasn't a quitter. So Hattie, to me, was the inspiration of everything I do now and how I look at women. My mother, my sisters, my daughters, all of you. Every single woman on this planet I look at differently because of Hattie, because of what she went through. And every woman here, I'm sure you'll agree with me, you do a million things, you might get credit for two or three of them. Right? Am I right? And so it made me think differently about my mother. You know, when you're a child, you take it for granted. You get toys, you got clothes, you're eating, and then years later you think, oh man, my mother was badass. Because she was going to work every day. So yeah, Hattie, she owned it. Thank you. Jill.
I wanted to say one thing before you opened it up for questions. I wanted to say that I don't think we understand and recognize the strength it took to sit in another room at a little table while all of your workers and co-stars were in a big elaborate gala. And you sat there knowing why you couldn't participate, but you sat there anyway because you knew that you being there in that position, like I said, would open doors in the future. She was in a time where you could not walk into a theater that you were performing at. You had to go through the kitchen. You couldn't stay in the hotels. You couldn't swim in the pools. The segregation was so pronounced that all you could do was continue to perform and to try to elevate yourself that way. So I don't think that sometimes we understand and we realize how strong she must have been. And then to get criticism from, you know, your African American counterparts, and some of it I understand because we're trying to elevate ourselves all the time, but still, That must have been a really hard situation for her to be in.
Thank you so much for sharing your perspectives. We want to open it up to the audience to see if anybody has a question. I have plenty, but I want to give you all a chance to ask away anything that you want to know.
Okay, so maybe you have a comment or a question. So we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to do that. Just come on forward to the mic.
Don't be shy.
What kind of roles did she play after Gone with the Wind?
The roles, usually when you win an Oscar, usually, there's an elevation. Mm-hmm. There's scripts coming across your desk that never came across before. And that didn't happen for her, not in that way. I mean, she, as a matter of fact, her career probably started to, it plateaued and then it started to kind of go down. One part is because of those type of roles that were starting to phase out a bit. So Hattie definitely played the roles that were available. You know, you have the Oscar Micheaux on the outside working in that way. They couldn't sustain it because of the infrastructure, because of finances. And then you had people like Hattie and many others, not just Hattie, you had Ethel Waters. I mean, Louise Beavers, you had a lot of amazing women who were doing the work, trying to open that door, knowing that there was a strong possibility they wouldn't see all the fruits of their labors, but hoping that the next generation would benefit from it.
Thank you. Thank you.
From our panelists, how can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook. Our web address is iamproductionsllc.com. I'm everywhere. You can just look. social media, I guess I should say that. So.
On social media, you can find us on Azimwike, African American Council for the Arts. You can look us up on Urban Exposure, Independent Film Project. And we also have a website, and that would be azimwikearts.org, I believe. And so we're available.
Yes, I can be found under my name, Kevin John Goff, on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. Also at HattieMcDaniel.com, and there's all kinds of information on there, updates of things that are going on with the Academy. And there's also a Hattie IG page, official Hattie McDaniel, so that's a start.
All right, and you can find Love Girls Magazine also on social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter. Are we calling it X? Are we calling it Twitter? I'm not sure. And you can find us on lovegirlsmagazine.com. I want to thank our special guest again, our panelists, and of course, our live audience. Let's give it up for everybody involved. We so deeply appreciate you all being here. For our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and continuing to support us. We are having so much fun doing Love Girls, the podcast. We're having so much fun shedding light on young women's stories, sharing women's stories in general, and doing it in community with you all. I hope you guys have the best day, and find us again on the next episode of Love Girls Magazine, the podcast.
Shines on all of my glory, my flaws don't look so bad at all. What was I so afraid of? Every part of me is a vision of a portrait Mona Lisa. Every part of me is beautiful. Priceless.